This is the third message from the first chapter of James. And those of you who have been with us the last two Sundays will know that the theme has been of Christian maturity. So this is Christian maturity 3. And I've entitled this Hearing and Doing. Perhaps better still would have been Hearers and Doers, and I'll explain that in a moment. The first week we looked at outward trials and circumstances and afflictions, and how we are to count it all joy, and why it should be joy when we are able to persevere in those circumstances. And then the following week, that's last week, we looked at those inward trials or temptations. And we saw the process of sin within and the way we by nature behave. And we saw also God's good nature, his goodness, his generous, constant giving. And we touched upon our own new nature by his grace. Now, this week we are looking at, again, developing Christian character and being not just hearers, but doers. The theme today, the essence of this, is that knowledge alone is useless. It's worse than useless because it also deceives us to thinking that we're on the right path. And so let's look at these verses. The first verse has a kind of trilogy or a three-pronged process there. We've talked about the process of sin being born and ending in death. Well, here's a process that we should all strive for. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Or, let me put it another way, listen much, speak little, and don't become angry. Let's spend a few minutes on the listen much. Just think about this. You don't grow in knowledge and wisdom by speaking. Because when you speak, you're saying what you already know. But when you listen to someone else, you are learning. You're seeing things from a different angle. You're getting another insight. And listening to God's word means listening to God. And we trust that the Holy Spirit will take God's word and apply it to us, and we learn something new, something about ourselves, something we'd forgotten. We learn something about God. We listen, we want to take it in. Could I put it in another context? Parents, do you listen to your children? Do you value their views? Or are they sometimes struggling to get something over and you're not really interested in what they are saying? They may have something useful to contribute. And children, do you listen to your parents? They sometimes speak sense, you know. Husbands and wives, do we listen to one another? Or do we often hear the other saying, you're not listening to me, are you? You're just not listening. Has anyone said to you, you are not listening? You're looking away, your mind's on something else. You're thinking about some other aspect or someone else you want to talk to, and you're not listening. Let me put it in a very serious way this morning. God may be saying to you this morning, are you listening to me? Are you hearing what I have to say? The Lord Jesus said these words, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, Romans 10, verse 7. In a church context in those days, James must or could have been thinking about the church, which had a synagogue type service where somebody would speak and others would ask questions and others would contribute to the discussion and perhaps comment. We can see some of that in the book of Acts. Now be slow, be quick to hear. Don't let your opinion be the loudest and strongest and first. Don't rattle on. Listen. Slow to speak. There must have been much discussion in the early church, and James is saying to them, now look, let every person be quick to hear what others are saying. And speak little. It isn't the person who speaks most or loudest that carries authority. Sometimes you may be bursting to speak and to say something, but you hold it back, you refrain, and afterwards, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you didn't blurt out something that would have been harmful or hurtful or opinionated? Aren't you glad that you were silent and listened instead? One person has put it this way, we have two ears and one mouth. Another person said to me, which I found amusing some years ago, engage brain before opening mouth. He who has knowledge, says the book of Proverbs, spares his words. Do you see a man hasty in another proverb, 29:20? Do you see a man hasty in his words? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Be quick to listen, slow to speak. Be careful what you speak. Speak little, listen much, speak little. And then the third aspect is, don't become angry. Again, thinking of that church context, that discussion group, that situation where a discussion can become a debate, and a debate can become heated, and in the heat of the moment, somebody becomes worked up and angry. How wrong is that? James says this happens so easily in that situation. Listen much, speak little, and don't become angry. Now, we are to contend for the faith. There are times when you have to disagree with someone. It's acceptable to disagree, but don't become loud and angry. Don't let it become an angry argument. You achieve nothing. Listen to what James says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. You may walk away from that and say, well, I showed him up, didn't I? Well, I put him right. And the other person is harmed rather than helped. The other person thinks, what a strange man or woman. How angry, how, you know, instead of winning the argument, instead of winning your friend, you've turned him away. The wrath of man, the anger of man, does not produce the righteousness of God. Being angry with sinners won't save them. There's a story in the Old Testament where David had committed adultery and Nathan, the prophet, came to him and told him a story about a man who had enough, had many flocks of sheep, but he took the lamb of another man to provide a meal. And we read that David became very angry as he listened to the story of that man. And then Nathan said to him, you are the man. You see, he was angry with the wrong person. His anger should have been directed at himself. His anger should have been his disappointment at his own state and sin. And that is so often the case with us. If ever we are tempted to become angry, let's be angry with our own failure, with our own shame, with our own sinfulness and vileness. One person has said, temper is such a valuable thing, it is a shame to lose it. Listen much, speak little, don't become angry. So that is the first two verses we look at there. He's laying the foundation, and then he says, therefore, if that is right, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive. So put away and receive. The things we're to avoid and to flee from and turn from, and we're to receive something else. One person has said that this is like an overgrown garden that needs to be weeded, it needs to be cleansed. And I was reading in the biography of Alan Johnson, and by the way, it's a wonderful biography. Two books. One is called This Boy, which speaks of the grinding poverty of his family when they were brought up. So much so that his mother would wheel a pram following a coal cart to pick up pieces of coal for the fire. Can we imagine the hardship of that young family growing up? But he says this, that when his sister Linda moved to a house, she had no idea about gardening. And there was a garden, and a kind neighbor came and did the weeding for her. And then, not knowing where to put the bundle of weeds, she put them on some cardboard and paper by the door so that they could be disposed of by Alan's sister Linda. But when she came back, she thought somebody had left plants there for her, and she went and replanted them. He speaks with humor and kindness and gentleness. But I thought, that is often what we do. We replant the weeds. Having been delivered and cleansed of sin and forgiven our sins, we head in that direction again. And instead of putting away, we cherish those things that are wrong. Put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. This morning, you and I know the temptations that beset us. We know our weaknesses. Put them away and receive with meekness the implanted word. This is the plant that you need. This is what we need to receive the word. Here it is again. Listening to God's voice, reading the Bible, listening to God's word and saying, that's what I need, that's what applies to me. Which is able to save your souls. SOS, save our souls. You see, some people think that James is preaching works. It's quite clear he isn't. He's preaching real faith, which produces works. He's saying this implanted word is what saves your souls. It's when God takes hold of you and changes you and lives in you. That's what each of us needs. And then he gives us a lovely illustration. Be doers, not hearers only. If you hear us only, you deceive yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in the mirror, for he looks at himself and he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Now, we all do this, surely. We look in the mirror, nothing wrong with that. See, am I tidy? Is my hair sticking up? Do I look presentable? Is my tie in the right place or whatever? We look, we check. I've seen many an odd preacher, or I should say occasional preacher, look in the mirror, coming in at the back there, checking. That's fine. But you go away and you forget what you look like. You don't dwell on what you look like. In fact, you know other people's faces better than your own. Now, says James, That's all very well for that man. But if that's what we are, well, we are just hearers of the word. We've come, we've listened, we've gone away, forgotten all about it. We read the Bible and it passes over us and we forget. But the one who looks into the perfect law of liberty and perseveres, and the Greek here has a sense of stooping to look, examining, examination. Have you done that? And are you doing that? And perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts. I realized that I'd chosen the wrong word, hearing and doing, that really hearers and doers is better, because it's like, what is he? Well, he's a teacher. He's a manufacturer. He's a this. He's a doer. Not just doing, not just he does, but he is a doer. He continues. He does those things, and therefore he's a doer, not just a hearer. Do you see my point? It's not a single act. It's an ongoing, either hearing, a hearer, or doing, a doer. If somebody were to say of our church, what are they like? Wouldn't it be lovely if people said, they are doers. They're not just hearers. They're doers. If somebody said of you or of me, you know, he says these things, but he's not just a hearer, he's a doer. So let's not be like that man who looks in the mirror at his natural face and tidies himself up or does whatever men and women do to their faces and goes away and forgets. Let's not be like that. Let's be doers. Let's have self-examination, not just a glance in the mirror. Robert Johnson, the Scottish expositor, says these words in his book on James. He says, to know the features of our souls intimately, to look at them carefully, to bear them much in mind, and to strive by every means that their beauty may be increased. This is the part of the wise man. It is a sacred duty, for the soul is immortal. And according to the care we bestow on it here, will it be its condition in eternity. The way you and I deal with our souls here is what we will be like in heaven and in glory. The soul which by divine grace is through faith and prayer and earnest Christian effort cleansed, beautified, adorned, shall in heaven stand before God, clothed in the beautiful garments of salvation. One day a voice of power shall say, he that is holy, let him be holy still, and he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. Are we doers of the word? Are we listening? Are we hearers? And are we becoming doers of the word? And then there is a last section to this passage. My sixth point is this, the worthless religion. There's a worthless religion and there's a true religion. What's the worthless religion? Well, it's not bridling the tongue. It's outward only. Get into an argument with this religious person, he will explode or she will respond angrily. There is no grace, there is no self-control. And that's not just true now in words, but in texts and in emails and on social media. The things people say on social media, the argumentative nature of mankind. Don't cross this person, he's religious, but he'll never forgive you. Why? Well, he's not a Christian. She's not a Christian. She may attend a church, but she's not a Christian. She's not a doer. She's a hearer only, or he's a hearer only. The person who thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Now, what is true religion then? Well, here it is. This is the climax of the chapter, and it's a wonderful climax. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. In other words, people who are vulnerable, people who need our help, people for whom you and I should have loving care and interest, the people we can help, the people that we see and perhaps in another sense don't see. It's not just outward, it's not just social work, it's not simply scurrying around being busy, but caring, visiting, taking time, putting yourself out, in other words, and showing an interest and doing something where you can. You see, the widow at that time, if her husband, that's why our Lord was so compassionate towards the widow who lost her son. Do you remember the funeral taking place? And the Lord Jesus raised her son from the dead. She was destitute. She had no one to earn a living for her and support her. That's the person that needs help. True religion is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. But it's not just that. And to keep oneself unstained from the world. When you are busy with the needs of others, don't forget yourself. Don't forget to build that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, to live a clean life, to keep yourself from the fashions and ways and sins of the world. Remember to follow Christ in your heart and life, to love him, have fellowship with him in prayer and worship. Have you and I got that balance in our Christian life of showing care and love and also minding our own souls? We're fighting temptation, fighting sin, wanting to be better, wanting to be right, wanting to be like the Lord Jesus, wanting to know something of the life of Christ in us. Oh yes, there are hearers and doers. Oh yes, there's a worthless religion and there's a true religion. Which one have you got? Which one have I got? May the Lord help us this morning to think about this and to not to be like the man who looks in the mirror, sees his face and then forgets it. But the one who stoops and looks in and thinks about it and dwells on it and is changed by it. Amen.